Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Dave Bowens, the Defense Health Agency's Director of Healthcare IT and Chief Information Officer. Dave, in some ways, this is a return trip for you on Ask the CIO. And in some ways, this is a brand new experience. So thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, Jason. Delighted to be here.
So let's see, the last time we talked, you were over at the FAA. You told me that that was the best job ever because you were both a pilot and an IT guy. And then here you are at the Defense Health Agency. So this is even fascinating because when I looked at your background also is filled with healthcare time. So I see you're getting one of the few lucky people in government to kind of move around to your passions. So give me a sense. The creation of the Defense Health Agency happened just earlier this year, March 2013, a memo from Deputy Secretary Ash Carter. Give me a sense, what does the DHA make up? How did it come together? Give me a little bit of background.
I think it goes back to either 2010, 2011, Congress directed us in one of the NDAAs to begin to look at consolidating our military health plan and healthcare resources. And so they basically asked us to do two things. One, to stand up an agency that was sort of the umbrella agency that allowed for certain resources of the military health system to come together into single units. And we'll talk about which ones in just a minute. And then the second one was basically the Defense Health Agency, which was the organization that's going to be stood up, was asked to look at what services could be provided in a shared services model as those operating entities of the services came together. So basically, the March 13 memo from Deputy Carter was sort of the final green light to the DHA stand-up, and that actually occurred this year on October the 1st. So the agency came into being, the TRICARE management activity went away and basically morphed into the DHA. So in the time in between, folks here looked at what kind of services could be incorporated into the DHA in a shared services model, came up with about a dozen originally, and settled on four originally to be stood up as of the 1st of October, coincident with the stand-up of the overall agency. And they were basically the medical logistics, the facilities capability, health plan operations, and information technology. So those were the first four. And then later on, a fifth was added, and that was pharmacy. So we basically were asked to develop a business case around how we would consolidate the military healthcare resources within IT and the other shared services as well into a shared services model and provide that on a service basis back out to the services.
So when people think of shared services, the common theme is financial HR, meaning a back-end system that everybody uses. But this is really from a shared services perspective. Like if you look at facilities or medical logistics, it's really more about one organization doing that function. Do I get that right?
Pretty much. I mean, what we're doing is consolidating like operations. And certainly these five that I mentioned have big dollars flowing through them. They're very important. Some of the efforts in terms of benefits from putting them together in some areas are longer term than in other areas. Certainly with the facilities guys, eventually we'll be looking at standardizing what our facilities look like, how they're designed, constructed, things like that. So that's a longer-term issue, but certainly in the areas like pharmacy and to some extent in IT, we've got the ability to recognize some pretty short-term savings and some significant savings as we move forward a couple years down the road.
Now, your role as CIO, obviously the focus there is on that IT shared services piece. So let's talk about your role a little bit. How do you support the DHA mission?
Well, what happened on October 1st, we developed a business case through the spring and summer of this past year, got it approved, and on October 1st basically became a consolidated agency. We moved 750-odd people from TMA, from the services, and from the National Capital Region into, quote, the DHA. And so that is our That's our initial operating capability, about 750 government employees, both military and civilian, and about 1,000 contractors. The full operating capability we anticipate being reached in about 2 years, which would be October of 2015, when we believe we will consolidate in all of the facility-specific and regional-specific IT HIT employees, and we'll have an organization of somewhere around 8,000 employees.
So that's a pretty big organization there. I mean, and this is just the IT section, or is this the entire DHA?
This is just for IT. There's a lot going on. Obviously, it's a very large system, 56, 57 hospitals, 350-odd clinics, and 9.6 million members for the health plan. I think just over 10% of the DOD budget is involved in healthcare in the medical health system, military health system. And our piece of that is somewhere around $2 billion. At least it's been running that, about that in the last couple of years.
So a huge organization, and obviously you're overseeing the IT piece. Give me a sense of what that includes. I mean, are you just the strategy guy? Are you in the operations side? Do you have, for instance, the electronic health record, but as well as kind of the battlefield systems that, help, you know, the medics and such? Or where do you fit into all of this?
Well, that's a great question. And the answer is yes. The new organization that we designed is basically an operating entity. The DHA basically was stood up to be an operating arm of the Assistant Secretary of Health Affairs, which will basically remain in place as more of a policy organization. So we are very much an operating entity. We've got a number of divisions in the HIT organization. We have an innovations group. We have a governance and customer relations group. We have an infrastructure and operations group, solutions delivery, security and privacy. We also have two organizations that are relatively new ads that support our existing applications, one on the business side and one on the clinical side. So all of these centrally managed apps, both clinical and business, now come up through us as well as the operations.
DHA also includes, and I don't know, you'll have to tell me if this also affects you, the Surgeon Generals from all the different services. Do you get that kind of IT side from all the services as well? I mean, the people who used to run Air Force or Army, Health IT, do they come merge into your organization as well?
They'll become part of the organization from an IT perspective between our initial operating capability and full operating capability. So as we get ourselves organized centrally and then begin to look out to the facilities, we'll gradually bring those in. The Surgeons General basically will continue to operate the facilities as they do today. They stay in the services. They will not come into the DHA, but we are merely a service provider to them. And we work very, very closely with them in terms of, you know, what their requirements are, what they want to see, and those kinds of things. So the governance structure is in place to do that, and I see the Surgeons General and the Deputy Surgeons General on a regular basis.
And let's talk about you for a second. How did you end up here at the DHA from the FAA? Again, when we talked last, you told me that was your dream job, so I think you're in another dream job in many respects.
Well, that is true. I went to the FAA as a result of being very passionate about aviation. It was my passion. It wasn't my career. As a matter of fact, the FAA trip was my first foray into government. And my actual career progression has been through a series of healthcare provider organizations, large multi-system hospitals, 7 hospitals, 14 hospitals, and finally 50 hospitals, and a very large health plan out in California. So this is kind of represents coming back to my roots. I do lose sort of the flying connection, but there's certainly a lot of very interesting healthcare initiatives going on here. We have a great organization. It's terrific to work with the services people. Everybody's dedicated to the mission. And we have what I would say an extraordinarily high caliber of staff. It's just a pleasure to work with all these people.
And maybe the Air Force folks get you up in the plane once in a while. I don't know if they're allowed to do that. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Dave Bowens, the Defense Health Agency's Director of Healthcare IT and Chief Information Officer.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Dave Bowens, the Defense Health Agency's Director of Healthcare, IT, and Chief Information Officer. Now, Dave, before break, we're talking a little bit about how DHA stood up, components that it includes, all the different pieces that are starting to come together, and then, as you said, you'll reach full operating capability in about a year and a half, 2 years, and about 8,000 people will be a part of the IT organization. You got to have a lot of priorities. Let's jump right in. Tell us what you're trying to get done over this first year.
Well, actually, Jason, the priorities are pretty simple. Certainly, we're all aware of the very significant economic climate that we're all operating in. So certainly, that's a factor. The first priority is moving forward with the stand-up of the DHA, getting everybody organized on the same sheet of paper, and basically leading the organization forward. As we design the organization and the business case around standing it up, we did run numbers around savings and efficiencies we thought we could gain from the consolidation. Obviously, we have a good deal of duplication in terms of hardware, software, infrastructure, things like that. And so we did a lot of work around what we thought we could save in terms of being able to consolidate that. So we have a business case that we put together. A business case went back to Congress, and so we're absolutely being held accountable for that. So the second priority after kind of the general leadership and standing up the organization is making sure that we meet the goals that were set out in the business case. And we have certain savings objectives. We have investments that we anticipate making in order to accomplish those objectives, just like we would in a commercial world. You have an upfront investment that generates a stream of savings as we go forward. And we're pretty clear about what those numbers are and what those initiatives are. And so the second objective is basically meet the goals that were laid out in the business case. And then the third goal is in the process of changing the tires while the car is moving down the road, obviously don't break anything. The Surgeons General are very concerned about continuity of operations and making sure that as we go through this transition, we don't interrupt current operations. And so that is also a focus for us.
All right. So three pretty broad areas. Let me start with the first priority of moving just DHA forward. You talked about a lot of efficiencies, a good deal of duplication. Can you talk a little bit about how much duplication you found? Are we talking about 1,000 servers and where you only need 500? Or are you not quite there yet in terms of the research?
Well, we're not quite there. I can give you sort of the numbers that we anticipate savings over the next 5 years. We have savings initiatives in three areas. One is the consolidation of management, and that includes some of the contracting activities, bringing all the contracts together. Obviously, there's some duplication there. The second area is around consolidation of our infrastructure. And then the third area is consolidation around our applications, what we call portfolio rationalization. A couple data points. I know we're doing a study now on our e-learning capabilities. We find that across the organization, we have somewhere around 22 different e-learning applications. So we think that there's some fertile territory there. Obviously, the services from an infrastructure standpoint all have military health system data centers and networks and help desks and things like that. So we got some potential there. One of our early goals, which we just briefed our leadership on, is transitioning our multiple email systems to a single email, which will be the mail.mil, the DISA provided email for the DOD. So we'll be transitioning to that. And so those are some things. I think as we looked at some of our contracts, we found some of our contracts were about half used, and we've got some contract savings there. And so we'll continue to develop the business cases and develop plans for achieving our savings goals as we go forward. As I said, we've been stood up now for just over 2 months, so we're still shaking through all of the HR issues around bringing three or four very different organizations together, and what does that look like, and how do we go forward from performance plan, job description, all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of that kind of activity still going on.
I want to talk a little bit more about the portfolio rationalization. I hear a lot of that throughout government agencies looking at the number of different applications and can we get down to one? Can we get down to two? That comes always back to the culture change, especially when you're merging a bunch of organizations, as we saw maybe with the Homeland Security Department, which is a much bigger organization. We know that. But trying to get to one procurement system or trying to get to, as you pointed out, you have 22 different e-learning systems. Somebody eventually is going to say to you, but I really need mine. And that one just doesn't work for me. That becomes a governance issue, but also becomes a culture issue. How are you looking to solve those challenges?
Well, you're right. They are significant challenges. We went through a shared services stand-up in the FAA, so I've got a little bit of experience in this area. And I would tell you that it's not a technology initiative. It's an anthropology initiative. Basically, cultural change is very, very significant and very much a factor here. And the change management and the communication dimensions of these kinds of changes are certainly not to be overlooked, or if so, certainly at your own peril. So you're right. I mean, there is a lot of inherent pride of ownership in these applications. They're tailored very specifically to how the organizations operate. And frankly, from the very, very first time we met with senior leadership, we impressed upon them the need that they need to standardize their clinical processes so that we could support a standardized clinical process with a standardized IT process, if you will. And that is actually going on. We have some pretty close working relationships with Kaiser Permanente out in California and in locations around the country. They've gone through a big system implementation a number of years ago, and we're talking to them about lessons learned. But I think the one lesson learned is that when you do this kind of transition, you've got to outweigh the need of the entire enterprise versus the need of a single unit. And for our leadership to be able to do that is going to be a challenge, but I think they're up to it. I mean, they're very much interested in best practices of large healthcare organizations, what the commercial organizations are doing in this space, and it's no more or less than the best healthcare organizations in the country are doing.
Do you have an added challenge in the fact that you're mandated in many respects to have an interoperability system with VA? So not only are you worrying about your internal kind of systems and things, but is the VA piece also adds another complexity to it?
Well, the VA piece adds certainly another dimension to it, but I'll tell you that it's no more or less than what we're dealing with the rest of the commercial world. Over 60% of our members receive care outside of our direct care system, outside of the military health system clinics and hospitals. And one of our big goals is to be able to get information on the care that's provided to them from those commercial providers back into their military records, so our military folks can see basically their entire span of care. So the fact that we need to interact with the VA is merely a reflection of the changing nature of our business, and not only do we need to react to the VA, but we need to react to just a whole series of providers all over the country and in foreign countries as our patients are treated outside of our direct care system.
All right, I think it's a good time to take a quick break. We'll come back, we'll talk maybe some more about your priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Dave Bowens, the Defense Health Agency's Director of Healthcare IT and Chief Information Officer.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also,
that bid protest on the DoD contract.
Right. But did you know
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about
OMB's digital strategy?
Jeez. How do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Dave Bowens, the Defense Health Agency's Director of Healthcare IT and Chief Information Officer. Now, Dave, before break, we had just started to talk a little bit about the relationship with the Veterans Affairs Department. Obviously, DOD and VA have been working for many, many years on an integrated, interoperable electronic health record system. There's been some changes recently, but talk about how your agency and VA will share data, how you guys will make sure that the veterans' data, the military service members' data are one and the same.
A couple points I want to make here. Certainly, we're very close to the VA. Our military people leave the organization, go over to the VA, and it's our job to make sure that the VA has access to as much of their data as they possibly can. We already share more data probably with the VA than any two healthcare organizations in the world. We are literally shipping millions and millions of fields of data over to the VA every day, and our efforts continue to increase the amount of data and the ease at which the VA can access that data. We have a number of initiatives that are going to be coming online that will automate some records that were previously sent to the VA in paper form before, and also give them access to information in new ways that they didn't have before. So we continue to work with them. They're getting more and more data, and we're trying to make it just as accessible to them as we possibly can. In terms of what are we doing specifically to make the data more legible, one of the efforts includes an effort around standardizing our clinical terminology so that we basically translate certain clinical terms from the terms that we use to the terms that VA uses and vice versa. So we're looking at seven areas initially here at the end of the year where we have certain standards and we can take the VA terms, turn them into a standard term, and then turn that standard term back into a DOD term for our folks to look at it, and vice versa for the VA folks to look at it. So we're going to continue to grow our capabilities in these areas so that more and more clinical areas as standards are developed, and we're working with the White House and the VA to develop more and more clinical standards in some areas where there are none. And more standards are developed, we end up translating our own terminology back and forth using those standards. So really looking forward to that. We have a whole plan laid out for the next at least 2 years to add more and more of those clinical areas.
When you talk about initiatives and you talk about seven areas initially, the seven areas are not just seven terms. I mean, let's be clear here. These are seven buckets or seven areas within the clinical functionality. So it could be pharmacy, it could be radiology, whatever, but it's all those terms underneath that. Is that correct?
That's exactly correct. Yeah, for instance, there's a set of standard lab terminology, set of standard pharmacy terminology, and where we have clinical areas where these standards have been well-defined and around for a long time, those are the areas we're starting with.
And when you talk about the number of initiatives that are going to come online soon, are we talking about those seven, or is that those seven areas you talked about one of the many initiatives?
These are the initial seven. I forget how many there are in total, but there are a whole series of areas that we've laid out in over the next year, 18 months to add more and more functional areas.
Related to this is the relationship with the VA DOD Interagency Program Office, the IPO. Where does the Defense Health Agency fit in with the IPO? Because in many ways, it seems like it should come under you, but it's also this other organization that's outside of you because of the VA component. Talk a little bit about your relationship with them.
The IPO has been recently restructured as a result of some directives by the Secretary of Defense, and so it's now focusing on three areas. There is a standard setting body, which was the organization I just referred to in terms of developing standards, working with the Office of the National Coordinator of the White House. So we've got people working on standards. We have another group that is specifically working with us in the VA data sharing, the data interoperability initiatives. And then the third area that is just recently come into being is called the Defense Health Management System Modernization, DHMSM. And that is the initiative that the DOD is using to go out and acquire a new commercial clinical electronic health record, if you will, for the Department of Defense. All of the DOD people in the IPO are employees of the Defense Health Agency. They transitioned into the Defense Health Agency, so they are sort of part of the family, but they are somewhat separate and out there focused on those three initiatives, the largest one, of course, being the acquisition of the new electronic health record.
Now, is that coming through your office, that acquisition? Because I remember the RFI went out just right before the government shut down. We all got a little kick out of that here's the government shutdown is happening, and you gave industry a little bit of homework. I think industry appreciated that, of course, give them something to do during the government shutdown. Are you guys running that acquisition? Can you give me a little bit more about it?
We're not actually running that acquisition. There's a program office established. It's actually headed up by a gentleman by the name of Mr. Chris Miller. He is a direct report to the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Acquisition, Testing, and Logistics. And so because of the very intense interest in of Congress in that activity, the Secretary of Defense asked the ATL people to take on that program office and take on that initiative. So they're basically in acquisition mode. They're doing industry days. They're doing a draft RFP, I think, will come out shortly after the first of the year here. And then a formal RFP will be published and an evaluation will be done, all the components of the acquisition. Beyond that, then we will work with them to begin configuring the newly acquired system. We'll take some time to do that, and we'll develop an organization that will basically take over and sort of deploy that throughout our system and then move into a sustainment mode in the years to come. So that's kind of how we see it overall. The specifics are still being worked out. Matter of fact, we just had a discussion about some of them just the other day, and so we're working very closely with Mr. Miller and his organization. Our clinicians are providing all the functional expertise in developing the requirements for the new electronic health record. So our information management folks, which are in DHA but not part of IT, are very involved in the various clinical areas, defining what the requirements for that electronic health record are going to be.
The other piece of this, I think, talking about when we talk about VA and we talk about the sharing of data, is the new test and development center, I think, under the military health system. Give me a sense of what that center does and how does it relate back to this bigger goal of interoperability.
The development test center, the DTC, is a center that we've long envisioned standing up. We sort of used the clinical system acquisition, our EHR Way Ahead, and some of our other initiatives to help develop the concepts around that. But basically, it's stood up as a function where we can house all of our systems, and where we can bring a newly developed system or a system still in development into the center and test to see how it operates in an environment that's as near to our real operating environment as it possibly can be. This is certainly going to be useful as we look forward to acquiring a new electronic health record, but I got to tell you that even right now we have 80 separate initiatives that are underway within the development and test center, and we use it for testing virtually all of our applications, all of our application enhancements, and new things that we may be putting in the network. So they're very, very busy down there. A lot of systems going on and a lot of testing going on.
We are out of time. Sounds like we could talk a lot longer, but we will catch up with you soon enough. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Dave Bowens, the Defense Health Agency's Director of Healthcare IT and Chief Information Officer. Dave, this was fascinating. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Jason, as always, it was just a delight to be here, and I look forward to being back on the show soon.
Tune in Monday, January 13th at 1 p.m. for a live online chat with Defense Health Agency CIO Dave Bowen. I'll be moderating the discussion on federalnewsradio.com.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.